Then in 1991, Hurricane Bob, which really ravaged, Category 3 hurricane, ravaged the East Coast, slammed straight into Plum Island and into Lab 257. Well, six workers who were in that lab that night to save the laboratory from literally melting down failed at that task, but they were also trapped there for 32 hours inside this lab that had this meltdown, and these workers got sick after, and we were able to, I was able to speak with some of them, and it sort of became one of these things that just seemed like people didn't really mind it too much, to a point where we really needed to start focusing on a place where people were getting sick and they were researching these dangerous germs, and the USDA that ran the lab at the time was telling a far different story. So that's really what got me sparked 7 years later, hundreds of hours of interviews later, Freedom of Information Act requests, including some research with your upcoming guest, Mr. Loftus, who was very helpful to me. And here we have this book today.
It's all timing, isn't it, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was first reading Lab 257, initially I said, this is just an astounding story. And then I realized, this is real. This isn't just make-believe. This isn't Hollywood. There's something going on there. How dangerous is this place?
Well, George, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, this is, I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's scientific fact. You know, I would tell you from the beginning really where it all started, and this is where Loftus comes in. You know, in his book, Belarus Secret, he talked in the preface, and a lot of people clued me into this many years ago, about some information that he had from his CIA sources that it was hatched by Nazi germ warriors that were doing tick experiments on Plum Island. And everyone sort of brushed that aside, and the USDA was quick to say that sounds, you know, we get a real kick out of the Nazi germ warrior stories. Well, I'm here to tell you, scientific fact, I found it in the depths of the National Archives and Records Administration, the documents that proved it. Plum Island was started by a guy named Dr. Eric Traub, who was secretly imported into the United States in 1949. He had his own germ warfare island in Nazi Germany during World War II and reported directly to Heinrich Himmler.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he came in here to the United States. He worked at Fort Detrick, of course, as the Army's germ warfare laboratory, and he basically convinced the CIA and the Army to open up their own offshore laboratory like his lab, which was called Insel Reims, and that became what is Plum Island today. So it started as a bona fide, Army-run, offshore germ warfare testing laboratory. Loftus was right. I proved it with the facts, and the documents are in the book to support it.
Michael, how do we know that some of these deadly viruses that seem to permeate society, not only in this country but around the world, how do we know they haven't started from Plum Island?
Well, you raise a great question. I mean, there are real links here. You know, I'm not a scientist, but it doesn't take a scientist to know that these virus outbreaks occurring just a stone's throw from Plum Island. We have actually three that I can think of that the listeners would know about: Lyme disease, West Nile virus, and this obscure avian virus, strangely enough, as you reported, similar to that, called the Dutch duck plague virus. And they all occurred. The first time that these germs were found in the United States happened to be within miles or a stone's throw from the government's secret foreign animal disease virus laboratory, the only place in the United States where these things are supposed to be studied. And the question then becomes, and there's other links to them, and I could talk to you about those.
Sure.
Why could it have happened? How could it be that this place could not have caused these things?
Do we know if they're doing experiments on animals or even people, you know, almost like the island of Dr. Moreau, where they're making these horrible creatures?
Well, they've done, they, you know, the ordinary course business at Plum Island is testing literally hundreds to thousands of, obviously, everything from test mice to large animals, cattle, pigs, horses. They've had seals there before that they've built tanks for, llamas, sheep. You name it. They also inadvertently, or not so inadvertently, tested. There were reports that showed that about 40 or so employees came down, tested positive to the African swine fever virus, having the antibody in their system, and they actually never informed anyone. I found these documents as well, and when I asked the scientist at Plum Island, I was able to visit the island six times before they refused my further visits on the grounds of national security, but they denied ever even telling these people that they had tested positive to this. And as you know, with these avian flus, many of these animal diseases very often jump the species barrier right. to humans. So there's some very deadly things out there.
Michael, I've never been a proponent of vaccines, but as far as Plum Island is concerned, are they working at ways to try to create vaccines to fight these diseases that we're talking about? Or are they creating the diseases? Are they making, you know, these biologicals, these germs to use for, let's say, weaponry there?
Well, as you know, the line between offensive germ warfare and defensive germ warfare is a very fine line indeed. It's just a matter of amplification. You know, if you can create these deadly things and you have starter strains and root strains of these germs, you can, of course, replicate them very quick and then just have them weaponized. And they do, you know, Plum Island has had some successes, and the book highlights that too. Lab 257 talks about Plum Island was the first place that created the first time in history that a genetically engineered vaccine was created. It was actually developed by Plum Island. Unfortunately, all those good things, George, are shadowed by a half century record of actual outbreaks where they had to evacuate the island, workers getting ill, virus experiments being conducted in these porous laboratory buildings when it's during virus mosquito season and you have all kinds of transmission issues with things like the Rift Valley fever virus, which is like the Ebola virus. This is a place that has been targeted by a terrorist with ties to Osama bin Laden, a place with no more security than a junior high school biology laboratory. And I'm still wondering here, after getting this story out, why are our government officials and scientists out there not taking this place seriously?
A couple of questions then. I'm going to get back to this terrorist issue that you just raised. But correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it in New York where the first case of West Nile virus was found a couple of years ago?
Yes. And, you know, the story that we're told on West Nile virus is that, you know, mosquitoes flew into John F. Kennedy Airport in the belly of a plane from the Middle East, where West Nile was apparent. It came in on this jet and migrated to northern part of Queens, where they multiplied and infected three humans that ultimately died, and that was August of 1999. However, here's where Plum Island comes in. Weeks before, in fact, almost a month before, very close to Plum Island, just a few miles west, 18 horses on three horse farms were dying from this unknown condition that later turned out to be the West Nile virus.